I wanted to tie Larry Davis into self-defense. Because I think it's important for us to know the great sense of euphoria felt within the hoods and within the progressive communities when Larry Davis was acquitted by a jury in the Bronx and he was acquitted by reason of self-defense after he had wounded and shot at approximately 28 cops, but he had wounded six of them. And he was acquitted. The mayor of New York at that point, Ed Koch, said, "I didn't think you could use self-defense against cops." The cops don't think so either, apparently. But at any rate, I just want to ask you to examine in your hearts and minds and in your consciences, if we were so euphoric about Larry Davis using self-defense against the police, why we cannot, as progressive thinkers, make a next leap? Because, you know, for most of our political prisoners, and this is no surprise, the first things it raised is he shot a cop, or he's convicted of shooting a cop, or he was at a place where cops were shot. It's always the blue dead that seem to get in the way, and they get in the way of our organizing, of our being able. I mean, I never was so appalled in all the days I was in jail as when I read that the police up in Harlem were able to have a picket line in Harlem opposing the release of our political prisoners. That should never have been allowed to happen, not by any stretch of any imagination. But at any rate, I want you to think on that, that we can accept Larry Davis's self-defense, although, you know, clearly it's as heinous as many of the other so-called convictions, because a lot of them are certainly bogus in and of themselves. But the rear fact that it is a cop that is involved cannot be the determinant. It just cannot. These men, mostly, there are a few women, but they are basically later. They were like me, Marie Mason, who came to jail a year after I did. They are echo, so-called, green terrorists. But I'm talking about the old Panthers and the BLA and the people who have, and the San Quentin people. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You say, San Quentin, well, how was that? That was George Jackson days. I mean, and they are still in jail. So I just want to bring to, you know, when people raise the police issue, it has to be understood that these men were defending the community. And in those days, if you do the statistics show that there were fewer cops shooting people in the street, shooting young kids in the street, shooting Trayvon Martins, although that wasn't a cop shooting. But at any rate, I just say to you, let us not get bamboozled by that. We are progressive and we understand what armed struggle is all about. And Ralph explained it very well when he said, "I'd rather be caught with it than without it," because as Sundiata Okoli testified in one of the trials I conducted, that everybody carried a gun because they were so afraid of being shot by the cops that they were not going to ask questions. And when I whispered to Ralph, Fred Hampton, that should set off bells ringing for everybody. He wasn't ready. He didn't have a gun that night. And he was murdered dead in his bed. So let's not question the other men. And of course, and this, I don't even want to say this because it needs no saying. They've served 30, 40 years. 30, 40 years, whatever time they should have done. And it's done and over. And I must say that when I couldn't make it to Trenton this past week for Sundiata Okoli, truly one of the elder statesmen of the black political movement, of any political movement, a man who graduated from Prairie View, who then got a job working for NASA. Amazing for a young black man in the 50s, a job like that. And he was there with Alan Shepard, with putting the monkeys up in orbit, all of those exciting things. But you know what? He went to Harlem, and he got more excited by the politics that were going on in Harlem. and he never took a step back from that. He sacrificed what undoubtedly would have been we call a brilliant career. And he is in jail, and it almost makes me cry to tell you that on his parole hearing, only 5 people showed up in Trenton last week as support for Sundiata Okoli. Sundiata arrested with Asada Shakur. At any rate, we've got to do better. That's what we've got to do better. As Ralph said, when I stepped out of the jail car and into his arms, he said, 149 left to go. He's put a number, 250. One out, 149. And he is right when he said, we asked for the support of elected officials. We asked for everyone. We went to Gillibrand. We went to Al. Help me. Minnesota. Franken. We went to everybody we thought could give us an ear. Not one person would sign my petition. Not one person would come out. From the elected officials. Now, I'm not saying other people, certainly Bishop Tutu, certainly Ed Asner has been remarkable throughout, Dick Gregory, but among people, elected officials, this was too much for them to handle. The T word. And, you know, and I'm sorry to talk to you from behind these glasses, but I was driving for the first time. Because we were late, and because I sent Ralph on ahead, and I said, I'll park the car, you just get in there. And so I, in the scramble to get out of the car and get in here, I left my regular glasses behind, but I can't read. These are bifocal sunglasses, so anyway. I must say that what made me very, very happy was that we accomplished this the old-fashioned way. The progressive section, the progressive left, came together without divisiveness, without sectarianism. They came together because they all felt I was worthy of support. And as Ralph says, I'm easy. I'm an older white lady. I am hardly a threat. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. No. I want to be a threat like Fran Golden has been a threat all these years. At any rate, that people came together and they could come on this one because, you know, there are people who would not even sign the same page. I can't sign with A group because I'm B group. And we don't have anything to do. Well, you know what happens all the time. The infighting is endless. Clark Kissinger said to me once, the price of freedom is endless meetings. Not a bad definition. But I do want to say a few practical things about our work ahead for political prisoners. I want to say, first of all, 149 people to be concentrated on at all times in all ways is very difficult. There's no question that the concerted effort to bring me home, the petitions, the radio shows, the people who went to Washington with Ralph, the people who marched in New York, every place added to bringing me home. And it's true that at different times, different prisoners seem to be more on the brink of having something great happen to them. For example, now, Russell Maroon Schultz. I think he's got a relative or something. But, my dear. But I'm saying to you that when it's hot, we have to jump on that bandwagon. That's we have right. to say, right. they're on the brink of doing, they're a little uptight about Russell. They want to do something. They let him out of solitary after all these years. So now we have to push the envelope. Yes. We have to make sure that whatever we can get out of them, and we, of course, want it to be the ultimate, We also are hopeful for Oscar, because it's been long enough. And because Anna and her group, the 33, let me get right, 33, right? Yes, the 33, for every year he's been in prison. And I can tell you, you know, I'm famous for having said, I can do that standing on my head. I don't care whether they liked it. I'm here to tell you, nobody can do it standing on their head. It's a miserable thing. It's miserable to be in prison. It is not, and it does not get easier. It's not that you've been in 5 years and the 6 years easy. It's always hard. The sense of isolation is tremendous. So I do want to say that, you know, we should pay attention. Another one that seems to be at this point gathering momentum is Hugo Pinnell, Yogi Bear. He's been in jail in California, and he went to the parole board recently, and instead of giving him a flat no, 15 more years or whatever, and across the board hit, they instead said, well, we're going to hit you with 4, but we're going to, if you're on good behavior, which he has always been, we're going to let you come back earlier. So it may be the time for us to all get behind Hugo Pinnell and push for him. We also, in doing this prisoner work, and I know Ann Lamb can attest to this, there are the brush fires that spring up and that need somebody to deal with them immediately. Last week, Prison Radio got a message from Elmira, was it? Or which jail in New York? No, that's the legs. I'm getting to him next. But they found where Muslims were being discriminated against at Elmira. And, you know, this was a number of different Muslims. And Abdul Majeed, of course, as many of you may remember from some of the emails, he could not get an operation on his sciatica nerve, which I happen to be very sympathetic round about now since I'm having troubles with it myself. But he could not. It was only after people called and his mother got into it and everything that he finally recently got that. So there are the brush fires, and they are mainly, as our prisoners age, they are mainly questions of health, because the prison, you know, the old thing about military music is to music, as you know, well, it's the same thing. Prison health care is to health care. Don't exist. So we have to deal. We deal with the brush fires, and then we also can never remember, and that's why I was going to talk about Rashid. Rashid is this very talented young man who does all this wonderful artwork. As a matter of fact, if you get the Syracuse Workers' Calendar, the past month of May had the United States map. I know, because I was down in Texas. That was, my little face was down in the corner in Texas. And then it had other political prisoners all over this map. Rashid did this map, and now he's having a terrible time in a Texas jail. They transferred him. I don't know where he started out, but I know he went to Oregon, and then now he's in Texas. And these are all state case transfers, I believe. He's not a federal prisoner. And so he is another brush fire, because it directly impinges on his health. So that's another one. And I just want to close by saying this work is so worthwhile. I can't tell you, you know, I mean, we do a lot of work, and it's all, you know, I mean, some people really like to go up to Capitol Hill and go to Congress and beat around and talk to these people and try to convince them to sponsor or at least support. But when you're working for political prisoners, you are so enriched. And when I was practicing law, I always used to say, I go in for a visit with someone like Richard Williams or someone like Ray Levasseur or any, I can name so many, that David Gilbert, and I come out enriched by spending an hour with them, enriched by receiving a letter from them that is so full of good advice and so brilliant in its own way that I can only say, yes, you can do this work, and you can do it because it is work that should be done and must be done if we are to call ourselves a movement. We can't abandon our prisoners. You see, the Taliban didn't abandon theirs. First time, right on the front page of the Times this morning, and I had to sort of smirk. I said to Ralph, where's Greta Van Suster now? She's the one I said, well, we're working. We'd like to get the sheikh to be in a position where we could bargain to have him brought back to Egypt, no longer in an American jail, even if he's in an Egyptian jail. It's better for him to be in Egypt. Just that can never happen. We would never let him go. We're not going to let any terrorists go. And I said, so where are you today, Greta? Five from Guantanamo for one American. How do you like that? So we just have to be aware there are so much that can go on that we can influence, that we can push on, and we must do it. Absolutely. I was just coming to that, my dear Fran, and I was going to do it under the guise of I know a lady, and when she goes through the airport, she has buttons on, and people stop her because she's a very gracious lady, very, very, how would you say, almost regal in her bearing. And she's got free mumia, or she's got another, and people say, what is that anyway? And then she tells them what it is. We can't be afraid to be self-publicizing. We have to do that. If people don't like to wear buttons, I know. It invites maybe sometimes the wrong people to ask you questions. I think Anne wrote me a letter with Long was watching them to say everybody needs a Ralph. Yes. But you particularly need a Ralph when somebody asks you the wrong question. Yes. But at any rate, I think that we do need to publicize more. We shouldn't be afraid of standing up and saying to people, well, you know, there are over 150 political prisoners in this country, and we're doing everything we can to bring them home because they've all been in much, much too long. So that in mind, Mumia, of course, is numero uno. If we were going to make a ranking, he would be numero uno. He is still numero uno. He has been, I mean, when I first became involved with the case in the 80s, I read, and I'm going to tell you, absolutely, I read it over, and I said, well, this guy didn't get a fair trial, that's for sure. That's where I started. Didn't get a fair trial. And after a little while and finding out more and more, I became convinced, as an attorney and as a progressive human being, that he was innocent. And that's a big difference. That's a big, big difference. I'm willing to support people who got fair trials but shouldn't be in jail. But I'm talking Mumia. He didn't get a fair trial, and he shouldn't be in jail because he's innocent. And justice, the love of justice, demands that he go home. And we want to see that happen. I want to see him step off into people's arms that he loves, just like I did. Because I tell you, there's no better feeling in the whole world. No better feeling. Oh, no, I took it back. The better feeling is when the jury says not guilty. But I want to also just expound a little bit on what Ralph said about peace and reconciliation. Everybody supported it. Everybody was in love with the notion that South Africa was going to have these hearings and we were going to wipe the slate clean and it would start all over again, and it was a wonderful thing. And they brought up the scum of the earth. They brought before this peace and reconciliation terrorists, yes, torturers. And they went through the process and came out the other side. Well, if we can support that in South Africa, why can't we support it here? Absolutely. Why can't our political prisoners get the same consideration as those true terrorists who had not a thought for the good of the people, not a thought for a racial harmony, They got the consideration. We all supported and said, oh, that's a wonderful thing. And then they are back in the society. We're not going to go into that because that's another two-hour speech. But let's just say that we should have peace and reconciliation here, and we should understand that the men that have been in jail for 30, 40 years all over this country deserve to be exonerated. Right.